The scripture reading on this very special Sunday is Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, the first 12 verses. The title of this section of Isaiah is Israel's Only Savior. Isaiah 43. Listen as I read these beautiful words of the prophet Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God, when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. And I am God. So far the reading of this beautiful passage of Isaiah. Before we open this passage, let's seek His guidance in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we may say, I belong to God. Our only comfort in life and death is that we are not our own, but belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Grant us the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for our dear sister. Bless her and her loved ones, and guide us now by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, today is a very special day for us here at Seventh Reformed Church. And we praise the Lord that He has brought this dear sister from Istanbul, Turkey, into the fellowship of our congregation. We praise God for this. As I was thinking about this message, there were a couple of things that came to my mind. One was what I had read in a newspaper some time ago. It was about a girl, a lady, a mother, who was prominent, who was a celebrity. And this article was about what happened in her life this past year, not this year, but a previous year. And she described what happened. She had two children. Her son was killed in an accident, and her daughter was suffering from an incurable disease. And she said, I don't ever want to live through a year like that again. I couldn't. You see, she said, I believe in a random universe. And if you believe in a random universe, there's no answer. She said, I have no answer. That was one thing that came to my mind. The other thing that came to my mind was a brother, a man in one of my former churches who just passed away. And we went to the funeral home, and there in the casket was the Bible opened to Romans 8. And you know how Romans 8 begins. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say in verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. And then in verse 36, 37, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I thought of those two experiences. The one says we live in a random universe, which means there is no rhyme or reason to anything. Everything is up for grabs. It's just a chance. It's like the roll of a dice. It's like whether you have a good hand of cards or whether you don't. There is no purpose to life. Life is meaningless. And when you go through terrible trials, as this celebrity did, she has no answer. She has no answer. But this dear brother, at the age of 92, went to be with the Lord, and in his casket, there's the Bible. There's the witness. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. What a contrast. We live in a very secular world. There probably are more people in America and in the Western world or in the whole world who would see life like that celebrity does. But praise God, we have the witness of those who love Jesus Christ. And Shema now knows that there's purpose for her life. That she and we belong to God and that He holds our soul in life. And that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we belong to God. That's what this passage in Isaiah is all about. There are three things I want to look at with you. First of all, the basis of belonging to God. The basis of that conviction that we belong to God. What's the basis of it? Secondly, what's the privilege that comes with belonging to God? And thirdly, what's the obligation of those who belong to God, of us who belong to God? So first of all, the basis. What's the base? What's the ground? What's the evidence? What's the proof that we belong to God? Listen to what Isaiah says. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah says, "And now, thus says the Lord." There you have it. We belong to God because He said so. The authority of our life is the Word of God. This Word, the Holy Scripture, is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God and the woman of God and the young person of God can be thoroughly equipped to every good work. That revelation of God is authoritative. He spoke and that settles it. It is a word that is absolutely clear. It's not ambiguous. It's not a puzzle. It's not something that you cannot understand. It's clear. Even a child can understand it. As a little child sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That Word of God is clear. It's authoritative. It is sufficient. We don't need anything else but the Word of God to declare to us that we belong to God. He said it. And that Word is based on something legal. It's legal. Do you know what Isaiah says here? That we belong to God because Christ redeemed us. He paid the price and set us free. This is chapter 43. You go to chapter 55 and 53, Isaiah 53, and it'll explain how the price was paid for our redemption. You remember those words, "Surely He hath borne our griefs. Surely He hath carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that we should have had was put upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon Him, Jesus Christ our Lord, the sin of us all." We belong to God because of a legal basis. The price has been paid. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." In one word, the one word He spoke was tetelestai, which means it is paid in full. The price of our redemption was paid in full. "It is finished," He cried. That's the legal basis of our being in Christ and belonging to God. So it is an authoritative basis. It is a legal basis. It's a personal basis. Because right here it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Shema, the Lord called you by name. He called you by name. Shema, you are mine. Jesus explains that in John chapter 10 when He says, "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. I know my sheep. I call them by name." God knows you, Shema. And today you have affirmed that you know Him. You affirmed before the congregation that you belong with your body and soul to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He knows your name. And He has incorporated you into His family, into the fold, into the flock of God. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, I give my life for my sheep. No one can ever snatch them out of my hand. Now, isn't that a beautiful statement of Jesus? No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one. All through life, there will be a struggle. There will be a struggle that there are those who try to snatch you out of the Lord's hand. But Jesus said, my Father is even greater than I am. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then Jesus says in John 10, verse 30, the Father and I are one. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on His tender breast. There by His love He conceals us. We can be truly happy in Jesus. So He knows us by name. So that's the personal ground of our belonging to God. It's authoritative, based upon the Word of God. It's legal, based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's personal, because He knows our name. And He holds us in His hand. The second thing is the privilege. The privilege of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. The privilege of belonging to our Father. Listen to how Isaiah tells us about the privilege. He says, now, very careful, he uses very specific words here. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. Now notice that Isaiah begins that privilege section with the word when. When you go through the rivers, when you go through the waters, when you go through the fire. He does not say, if you go through the fire, if you go through the rivers, if you go through the water, if. No, it's when. You know, there's a big difference between those two words, when and if. If he had used the word if you go through the fire, water, and rivers, it could mean maybe we won't. Maybe we won't ever have to go through waters, rivers, and fire. But he doesn't say if. He doesn't say if you go through the waters, I'll be with you. He says when. In other words, it's coming. Life is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. Jesus said it wasn't easy for Him. He said the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. It wasn't easy for Jesus. He had no form or comeliness. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. He was forsaken of God, forsaken of men. And He said, it happened to me, it's going to happen to you too. So when? When you go through the waters, when you go through the rivers, when you go through the fire, it stands for all kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble. Sickness, accident, times of plenty, times of poverty. All kinds of troubles come our way. Remember how Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount said, those who hear my sayings and do them are like a person who builds his house upon the rock. And the winds come, and the rains come, and blow upon that house, and it doesn't fall because it's built on the rock. But the one who hears my sayings and doesn't do them is like a man who builds his house on sand, and all those same troubles come. And the house falls because it's built on sand. But now today, Shema, you're saying my house, my life is built on the rock. That's Jesus Christ. He's the rock of ages. And it's not going to fall. And when you go through difficulties, and you will, all of us have, and if we haven't yet, we're going to, don't worry. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned. Do you know that there were three young men who were friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And Nebuchadnezzar had built a great, great image, and he said everybody has to bow before it. And when the sound of the music is heard, you bow. And those three men stood just like solid rock. They did not bow. Nebuchadnezzar said, now listen, I'll give you another chance. And they said, never mind, O king, because we will not bow to your image no matter how many times you give us, because we belong to our Father in heaven, and we're not going to bow to your image. And that made him so furious that the furnace was heated to seven times hotter, and he had soldiers take those three men and throw them in to that furnace, and those soldiers burned and died. But these three men who were thrown into the furnace, they walked in the fire and they were not burned, and there was another with them. And that was Jesus Christ in his Old Testament appearance. There they were, four walking in the midst of the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, weren't there three that I threw in? But I see four. That was Christ Jesus. This is a fulfillment of what it says right here. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. In fact, there wasn't even a smell of fire on their clothing. The Lord is with them. That's one of the great privileges of belonging to God, that He cares for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. Just as it was in that casket of my friend who died, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than conquerors. And as Paul says in that beautiful passage in Romans 8, and he speaks about all the kinds of things that trouble us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's That's what it means to belong to Christ. That's the privilege. But there's also an obligation. There's an obligation. And this is the obligation. The Lord says, listen, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. You and I, and Shema, you too, were witnesses to that. This is a story we got to tell to the nations. Everybody's got to hear this. That the whole world may know. Jesus said in the book of John, and when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Jesus draws us through the believers. Jesus said to the disciples on the day before, 10 days before the Passover, no, before the Pentecost, He says, you are my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You are my witnesses. You are the ones who are going to spread my message. We have a story to tell to the nations. You've got a story to tell to your Turkish people. You've got a story to tell. You've got a story to tell. And Rahi is going to Ankara, Turkey this week, Tuesday. And you and Victor and Lisa Itala will be witnessing 9 coming into the fold of Jesus Christ. There's more witnesses. This is the great privilege and the great obligation of us who belong to God. We've got to tell the story. We can't keep it to ourselves. You know, in the passage of Scripture in John 4, where the woman at the well was converted, where she received that living water from Jesus and then went to her village and told that to all the others. And here they come. The whole village comes out to see this one who told me everything that I ever did. What a witness. They said, now we're coming because of what you said, Jesus. Not only what the woman of the well said, but we're coming because of what you said. So you and I are witnesses. Witness to our family. Witness to those with whom we work. Witnesses to the strangers and to those who we know. What a privilege it is. And we can tell them, you know, that life, it doesn't matter. I'm thinking of this celebrity, this girl, this lady, who had real trouble in her life. But she said, I believe in a random universe, that there's no purpose to life. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. You and I know there's a purpose to life. The Lord says in this passage, I created you. I formed you. I called you by your name. You are mine. Don't worry. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. This truly is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Shema. We pray for her and her loved ones. Bless us this day, O Lord. Thank you that we can say, I belong to our Father and Son and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.